The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello and welcome to another special episode of Press X to continue. This is the gaming podcast, by the way, which gives you everything you need to know about the games industry, whether you play, whether your mates play, whether your loved ones play, you just want to know a little bit about gaming, or whether you wake up and you play hours of Balatro every single day on your phone. Whatever you're into in the games industry, we chat about it here on Press X. Lovely to have your company. My name is Stefan, by the way. If you're just joining us, hi, hello. I help present Press X to continue. And what we do every now and again is we sit down with some of the most interesting people out there in the games industry for a big old chat. And that's what we've done for this week's special episode for you. Now, what you're going to find is new episodes every week, by the way, if you are new here, on Spotify, on Apple, on anywhere where you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, usually I'm joined by Einel Tomlinson, my co-host, the actor, streamer, and all-round good egg. And we talk about games with a special guest, and we do that every Tuesday. But if you like that and you want a bit more, then we've also got a Patreon where we do episodes that are called the Top 5. Well, you guessed it. We pick the top five of something in the game space. It's really intense. It's a totally different energy to our normal episodes. It's really fun. It's really feisty. And we get into all those conversations on our Patreon. We also live stream for our patrons as well. And there's loads of little extras there. If you're interested in how podcasts are made, we share the scripts of the podcasts for our patrons to have a look through as well. So there's loads of other little extra bits there on the Patreon. So if you want to be part of that, you can join our Patreon lounge in the Discord. All the details are on our social media. Go and find it. Or it's in the comments below as well. Have a little look. And if you like what you hear, they can come and get more on the Press X to continue Patreon. Right. But this week, for our special episode, we have got Batman on the pod. Yeah, fine. It's just Kaz. We just got Batman. The other day, I interviewed... that is such a cool sentence, actually, isn't it? We've got Batman on the podcast with us. Now, the other day, I interviewed Shai Matheson, who is the actor who has been in loads of your favourite games, by the way, including, obviously, Batman, which is why we've got a picture of Lego Batman on the front of this cover of this podcast. He's had a fascinating time working in games, and how he got to where he is. How did he end up being Batman is what we talk about on the podcast. He talks us through his career, how he got to where he is, what he likes about games, all that sort of stuff. It's a fascinating insight with a lovely fella. Also, if you don't follow him on social media, you should, because he's really good gym inspiration. And he's inspired me many times. And we've talked about this when I've seen him at events, that his gym inspo has inspired me to go and get lifting weights as well in the past. So, Shai, thank you very much for that, and also for being a good egg. So this is my conversation with Shai Matheson, the voice of Lego Batman, for Press X to continue. So come and hang out, have a listen to what he's been up to. A Thursday morning normally look like for you? You'd probably be in the gym now.
As if there's a normal. Yeah, I probably would, actually. Yeah, I try and do the gym first thing in the day so I can get it done. So then when all the distractions come in, it's already done. But then I oftentimes go to the gym and it's all distraction. I just keep being on my phone instead of doing what I need to do. But that's good. Sometimes I like to do admin at the gym on the treadmill, so like I'll just be on the phone.
Is it?
But while walking, so I go, that's a really good way of getting steps in.
That is because we often talk when we see each other in the flesh, we often talk about, because I can remember we met each other sort of for the first time when I was in the middle of I hate the term, body transformation.
Yeah, but you were. It was so impressive.
I appreciate most podcasts start with a hi, hello, how are you? We'll get onto that in a second. But you see, if you don't follow Shai online, you should do, because he's a an inspiration if you want to get into shape and love games. Your training regime is impressive, and is it important for you, like, to start
the
day that way?
It's really important to me. It is. I don't have like a routine, so I don't usually do the same thing on a Thursday, the same thing. You know what it's like. We're self-employed. It's like every day is different. Every day, you know, you have a plan in the beginning of the day or you plan the day before, and then everything goes to pot because you get an email, you get a message. Suddenly you need to post something online. Suddenly a trailer drops for a game, you know, whatever. So there's never... You never can plan. But I make sure I have an amazing trainer called Harry. Follow him online as well, Harry Alexander. And he it's really the only steady in my life. It's the only thing that I am accountable for, have to do 5 days a week. And yeah, I love it. I love that. I hate going to the gym. Genuinely, but I love the routine of it, like not the routine, but the commitment to it, the accountability to it.
Because a lot of people, obviously, they'll be listening to this because they might want to be performers in a game in the future, or they might want to tread the boards or whatever. And like you've alluded to, it's a very transient sort of job, right? You don't know what you're doing one day or the next. So does that sort of having some sort of routine or a line in the sand help you sort of deal with the uncertainty of your line of work?
For sure. I think, sorry to cut you off. Yeah, for sure. I think it's because of all this transience and the lack of any kind of stability that this is the only constant. You know, it's really the only thing that is, I track my calories as well. But like, often there's a misconception. We've discussed this before, I think. Like, there's often a misconception about tracking calories that like, oh, you're limiting yourself or you're dieting or you're having less, you're starving yourself. I see it as the opposite. I track my calories so that I can have more, so that I can eat the things that I like, so I can have treats, so I can have cake. You know, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have decent metabolism. So actually my maintenance calorie, this is a great gaming podcast.
But this is it. I think what's interesting about it, you're talking about tracking calories, and we chatted about this before, is gamified being healthy. Right, that's the idea.
So true.
You know what I mean? It makes you think, oh, I've hit my target this year, and I've had a little star for doing.
I don't want to
show off here, Shai, and dear listener, but I was in the gym the other day and I hit a personal best, and my little app pops up with a little star, and look at you, well done. It's just like completing a level in Mario. Do you know what I mean? I'm feeling good
100%.
About myself.
It's that dopamine hit. But my trainer does that for me. He gives me that little bling bling in person. Or I don't see him in person all the time, but we have online reviews and stuff.
Well, we should do the introductions now. Sorry, I just, you know, it's just... If you follow Shai online, you'll see what I'm on about. So Shai Matheson is with us. He's performed in some of your favourite games, loads of them. And we're chatting at the moment because I don't know, from the outside in, Shai, it looks to me like it's been an amazing last few months for you, because people who are watching this will see that there's a certain character in the background of Shai's video.
What?
Right,
where?
Right. And also you can hear it. And also you're probably watching this because it's going to be on the thumbnail and you already know it. Shai is the voice of Batman in Lego Batman at the moment. And I can remember the last time we saw each other, you had done it, but couldn't tell me what the exciting project was. And it was this.
Yeah.
You are the voice of Batman. How does that feel like? Mm.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's still, like you said, it's been a few months that I have been able to talk about it. And then a few weeks since the game actually came out, and it still doesn't compute. It's still sort of, you know, like, not to go back to it, but like, I still get up, go to the gym, do the normal things. But in the background, this incredible thing has happened. And obviously for me, it's insane because, I mean, a lot of this is new, but a lot of it isn't. And I've always been a Batman
fan. Some of that stuff dates your fandom of Batman.
It really does,
doesn't it?
That one. Had this for years. I mean,
he's pointing to a poster for people listening. He's pointing to a poster of Batman and with Catwoman in there.
Batman Returns.
Yeah. Like, so that was...
I've genuinely, again, for people watching, I've got like old Batman comics here that I've had since I was a teenager. I've got some Superman ones as well. So I'm a genuine old time Batman
fan. That's why you might have seen Shai knocking about a lot recently. You'll have seen him giving out an award at the BAFTA Games Awards and in a bunch of other places where gamers hang out and on social media and things. And before we get into how you ended up as Batman, we'll talk about that, of course, because that's a big part of your recent your journey shaper. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the word they use, isn't it? But
yeah,
we'll figure out how you've ended up there, because I think a lot of people listen to our interviews with game performers and actors because they are interested in doing it themselves and getting some inspiration and some tips as well. But we have to start, if you don't mind, we start every episode with what we call an unsung hero game, which is a game that basically people don't necessarily feel gets the love it deserves. And you've played a lot growing up, you've performed in a lot of amazing games. Is there a game that you think we as gamers, as people who play, don't love enough or don't give it the pop it deserves?
You know what? I'm such a bad gamer because I used to play loads when I was a kid, and then I had a big stop, and I've only just gone back to playing games.
You know, that's really interesting. I think that's the history of loads of people. Lapsed gamers, because I was definitely that. I played loads as growing up, went to university, found nightclubs and friends and other interests and whatever, and then you drift away for a few years, and then you sort of, it sort of like that Godfather quote, it pulls you back in.
Pulls me back in. Yes, no, for sure. And because I would play all the time, but I'm talking like early, like DOS days.
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed to say it because I'm so old, but like so I really did stop, so I would never presume to know enough or call myself a gamer. I recently started for two reasons. One is because obviously with what we do, I hang around people that make games a lot, and a lot of them are so passionate about games, and then you start hearing so much about things that you don't know and realize what gap you have in your knowledge. Now, I think you can still be an actor in games. We'll get to that, I'm sure, but you can still be an actor in games and not know about, you know, specific games or genres and stuff. Because essentially we come into the studio, we perform a character, we tell a story, right? Not to like, you know, not to give like buzzwords, but that's kind of it. Yeah. Like I managed to be successful as a game actor without knowing enough about games. But in a way, I guess my profile rising a bit and just hanging out with more people that make games, it started interesting me, you know, like it started becoming fascinating to me. I wanted to know more about the industry. I wanted to know more about different types of games. So I did start sort of immersing myself in it. And with that comes the desire to play. I mean, you can't look at it from the side and not want to jump in, right? It's like if I only read film theory books and never watched a film. And I did find that, you know, I'd be in rooms where people were having conversations that I kind of didn't know the content of. You know, it's the equivalent of like, I don't know, going to the National Theatre and someone goes, oh, you know that thing in Hamlet? And you go, in what? Let's what? So I just felt like that. I was kind of ashamed at how little I knew. And so I started really immersing myself. And then I really wanted to be able to play Batman proficiently when it came out. So I think for the last 6 months, I've really like jumped in the deep end and started playing a lot. So I got a little list from someone of like, oh, start with this on an iPad, learn how to even like read a game.
Yeah.
From like the most basic, I think I played The Room. Do you know The Room?
I don't. Tell me more.
It's on, I think it's on iPad, but I think it's on everything. It's sort of like just a puzzle mystery kind of thing. It's very basic, apparently quite well known. And you just go into a room and need to find little bits, a key that gets you to the next thing, that gets the puzzle to the next, you know, it's very basic. Some people might have heard about it. And then Monument Valley, and just like Monument basic Valley, things to sort of, isn't it great?
So beautiful, man. So amazing.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful. I was like, this is the stupid thing about this conversation is like, because then I arrived at other games as well, and I'm going, oh, isn't this great? And it's games that everyone knows.
Yeah, but
are great.
You know, it's interesting.
It's like I've discovered it for the first time.
I think there's a couple of really interesting things you've touched upon there. I think actually having a perspective from outside games is really helpful for people who play. I actually hate the term gamer. I hate it because you use it sometimes because it's like an easy shorthand, isn't it? It's like, oh, you can just refer to it as easy shorthand. But like, I like sport. That doesn't mean I'm a sporter. Movies.
Or an athlete.
Yeah, an athlete or a movier, just because I go and watch the movies. But I think actually having a bit of perspective coming to games afresh, as I might have helped, and we'll get on to, you know, your experiences performing in games in a second, might have actually given you a perspective that other people don't have, which could be a positive, which is probably a positive thing. And then secondly, Monument Valley is the game that I used So I made a TV show with a guy, with Adrian Childs, a British TV presenter, right? And he was like, I want to try, help me try and get into video games then, Stefan. And I was like, right, the game you're going to play to get you into video games is Monument Valley. Because
there you go.
It's like playing a piece of, well, it is art. I know all games are art or whatever, but it's so beautifully made and clever.
It just lends itself to, like you said, if you don't know enough and if you're not proficient, like I could give it to my mum to play and she'd probably manage to play it. But that doesn't belittle how amazing the game is. It just means it's amazing because it's accessible to people who don't think that way, you know? Yeah. And it manages to just be like, you know, like, what's that thing with the pinballs that you have to sort of move from side to side?
Oh, yeah. I get
you know what I mean? The sort of little game. It manages to take that and then make it into a beautiful spiritual experience somehow. I think it's gorgeous. Yeah. And
we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about Monument Valley enough. We don't talk about the sequel enough. Should,
I mean, listen, it's been up for a bunch of awards. It's on to its third installment now. I actually met some of the guys that made it and I was like, oh my God, fanboying. But no, it's great. So it's things like that. And it is amazing to, you know, that thing where you go, guys, games are amazing. Did you know about this? Like, I feel so stupid to come at this so late. And then I sort of graduated to playing the Arkham games, which, you know, universally are considered some of the best games ever made. And I'm like, guys, has anyone played the Arkham games? They're so good.
I don't think we can claim that's an unsung hero game.
I take
your point.
Deservedly.
So we're going to get on to you as being Batman. We're going to get on to your journey into games in a second. Did you always want to be an actor? Were you like a performer growing up, or did it come to you later?
Kind of. I think I didn't know what it means to be an actor. All I knew was, like, I think I can even almost sort of pinpoint, I think it was like third grade, where I was quite a shy kid. And then at some point in third grade, I was like, oh, I can be funny. And I like being funny and I like making people laugh. And actually lets me get away with things that maybe, you know, I sort of discovered charm and wit and what that can do for you. Mm. And it sort of was like a shield, you know. It would make me acceptable to the cool kids because I was funny. It would make me sort of get away with being a little bit naughty or maybe not always the best student, though I was decent in school. So it was like, it was a nice sort of superpower. Not that I was that funny, but it was a superpower. And then that sort of led to the thing where, okay, well, let me show it off to other people and, you know, do the end of year show and maybe film a thing. I think camcorders were like a thing back then. So I'd get some friends around, we'd film some stuff and it just was fun. Like I was thinking, oh, how can I make something that's funny and engaging and really no one will ever see, but like it is funny. And sort of that was it. But I never thought, that's the career I want to have. Yeah. And I will go and study it. And then there was a point much later on. So it was always like accepted and known that I was sort of the funny one or the, you know, I wasn't a performer in the sense that I did plays and I knew about theater and drama or I sang or whatever. I just was like the funny guy and up for a laugh and would do that.
Yeah.
And then I... when I was about 22, I thought I wanted to go to New York for a bit and then ran into this actor who had just graduated from Juilliard and he was getting quite successful. He was sort of like the hot young thing. I didn't really know that at the time, but like he was really up and coming. And so I was like, that's cool. I want to do that. Where do I sign up? Sort of going, it's so easy because, you know, people told me before that I was funny.
Yeah.
And he sort of looked, not in a disparaging way, but he was like, what do you know about theater? What do you know about drama? What do you know about acting? Have you ever read a book about it? Which is kind of patronizing, but also very true.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, yeah, I guess he's right. And so this is such a basic, obvious thing. It's like, aren't games great? And then I thought, okay, well, yes, he's right. I don't know anything about it except that I like the attention and let me go and read a book about it and let me try and get into drama schools. So I looked at a lot of drama schools in New York and then, long story short, ended up auditioning in London and then went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School for 1 year to sort of like, it was almost like a taster course, but I loved it. It was amazing. What a great school. And then I went to Lambda, which is another drama school in London, London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. And that kind of was like the way in, but it was never, a lot of times, you know, I'm sure you get this a lot as well. Like people go, wow, choosing this profession, that's so brave. Aren't you brave? I was like, I never chose it. It just, no one ever had the sense or whatever to stop me. I just sort of rolled with it. You know, my parents were like, I'm sure my parents would have preferred that I was a doctor or a lawyer or some real job. But they never stopped me.
Did it, when you started studying, did you get the bug for it? Because it can be, it can be hard. And yes, our you know, professions, the creative industries are seen as glamorous and sexy, and in a lot of ways they can be, right? There are moments, no doubt, where we've done you know, a presentation is slightly different from acting, of course. But there are moments where you're like, okay, pinch me, this is cool. You know, I am very lucky that I get to do this thing, whereas I'm not sat at a desk. But of course, it is not always like that. And there are times that you've got to, you know, knuckle down and work hard. And you've, without having the bug for it, that can be tricky. Yeah. When you started studying, were you immediately like, yes, this was the right call? Or did you have uncertain, did you have doubts for a while?
Again, I think, I'll tell you something in a second, but I was like, okay, I guess that's what I'm doing now. What's that EastEnders meme? Like, just doing this now. I think I'm doing this now. I'm hoping it will lead to something. You know, we all, whatever anyone says, I think when you start out going into this, you go, logically, I could become the biggest star in the world. Logically, I will get to Hollywood. Yes. Like, it makes sense. If I do everything right and tick all the boxes, I will get to Hollywood.
I mean, they've got eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Spielberg's going to sit in the restaurant that I'm serving at and go, hey, I want you in my next film.
You're my guy.
Yeah, you're my guy. Where have you been all my life? And it's absolutely ridiculous. We know now. But when you're starting out, that's why they get you when you're young.
Yeah.
You really do think that that's possible. And hey, it does happen to some people. What I was going to say is that I think on the first day of our like recall day at the Bristol Vic, the principal, Chris Dennis, said, if there's anything else in life that you are good at or that you want to do or that you think you should be doing, go and do that. Because genuinely anything else you can do is probably better than this. But if you don't want to do anything else, this is it. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
A lot more articulate. But I think it's so true. And I just never had anything that I felt I was better at. And so I just kept on with it. But again, like I said, there was never a plan. There was never like apart from succeed, there was never sort of like, I don't know, any linear, you know, so you're going through it and you're going, oh, this is hard and tough, but yeah, it's cool. Oh, I'm not very good at this. My teachers told me I should improve at that. I'm like, okay, I'll try and improve, but I'm good at that. You know, I never really thought about it. I think some people are more cerebral about those things, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this now. Okay, I'm graduating. Okay, I'll try and get an agent. Okay, I got an agent. Oh, this job is not, you know.
Yeah.
I just rolled with it.
And that must be quite a refreshing attitude, right? Because the more pressure you put on yourself in an industry where you ultimately sort of can't control, because a lot of my friends are like engineers, right? And if you're an engineer or a solicitor and you've done a certain amount of years in a certain job, you get the promotion, you get on the next ladder, you get the pay bump or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas in your career, right, you might get a phone call. Well, we'll come on to the text message that you had from your agent that says, oh, by the way, do you fancy being Batman? but also that might not happen. That's so hard to deal with. Right?
Let me just clarify before you get the wrong impression about me. There is always pressure. I always put pressure on myself. Mm. I always have to be the best that I can be, at least, or I always compare myself. I always compare up rather than compare down. So I put enormous amounts of pressure on myself. I am a ridiculous perfectionist. I'm very not competitive as in I see other people and I want what they have. I want to achieve. And so whatever pressure I didn't have from going, I should learn 5 monologues to then get me into the RSC, which will then get, like, there was never that. I was just rolling with it, but not without pressure.
Yeah, okay.
So Yeah, so just to clarify because so I think anyone who watches and knows me knows I'm stressed and pressured as all hell.
Yeah, those cortisol levels are high.
Yes, baby. Yeah.
So there you are. Then you are you're fresh out of your studies in London.
Yeah.
Did you know at that point that working in games could be a part of your career? Were you wanting to do theatre, or how did it end up?
Absolutely not. No, I don't even think it was a thing at that point. My journey with voice is funny. Like, it's twofold. It's this thing that I say every once in a while, if anyone's seen any of my other chats, that I do big up Robin Williams in Aladdin. Because I think if you're watching this, I have this little genie here.
Oh, look at him. Yeah.
But I think that thing, what an amazing thing. That when I watched that when I was a kid, it just blew my mind, and it inspired me. It was around the same time as The Simpsons, obviously, and it just inspired me to like want to be that funny, want to jump from character to character, want to do voices and sounds and, you know, and just be funny with it. Obviously, again, what a thing to try and be the funniest man that's ever lived, Robin Williams, right? But it just,
you're comparing up, Shai, right?
Yeah, to the very top, the very, very top. Not even comparing, just aspiring. But so that's always been in the back of my mind. Like if anything was like the thing that really made me want to be, to show off and perform, that was it. But then you get into drama school and you know, it's that thing. And what have you read about drama? What have you read about history? Blah, blah, blah. And you fall into it, right? And there's nothing wrong with it, because I love watching a good Shakespeare. I love watching a good Chekhov, whatever. I love all those things. But you convince yourself that that's the only thing that you should be doing. And that if you can't do that, especially when you go to the big drama schools in London, you know, because those are the sort of pinnacles, right? Then you kind of go, okay, I guess I have to get into that. Well, I guess I have to do a season of the RSA. I guess I have to do something at the National. Then, you know, you fall into sort of like that pattern that you're supposed to go through as an actor. And then because I always had a nice kind of bassy voice at the point when I was sort of a younger actor, promos and commercials and things loved a voiceover voice, which now obviously no one likes, and everyone wants the guy next door.
Yeah.
They want you, Stefan.
Well, I wish they can. They can feel free. They can pick up the phone
if anyone's watching.
If anybody's around,
Stefan is available.
I'm very available for all weddings, bar mitzvahs, television adverts, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Any ads, any promos. So I sort of, that was sort of my way into voiceovers. Mm. So you get a voiceover agent so you can do promos and commercials. And then they go, oh, do you want to go up for this game? You go, well, all right. You kind of, a voiceover for a lot of us started as like a thing you do on the side while you're auditioning for those serious things, as we discussed.
Yeah.
Serious in inverted commas. So you get that, you do that to support you on the side rather than being a waiter, which I also was, and doing other things. And suddenly you audition for games, suddenly you get into that loop, and then it just started rolling. Yeah. Now, I've been doing that for about 15 years, and, you know, we're only talking now, right? So it's a slow burn, which nowadays, especially when you talk to younger actors, you know, everyone expects it, and me included, right? You expect it to happen straight away, but it does take forever.
Yeah, you have to have patience, right? I suppose is what you've proven there. To be fair, Shai, I bet you were a very good waiter. I can see you having a great table. Listen, manner.
I'm like in school, like in everything in life, I get away on charm. So I was a terrible waiter in the sense I never could memorize anything on the menu. I never knew what any dish included. But I would be super charming about it. And if I forget something, I'd give a little touch on the shoulder and go, you know what, I'm so sorry. But I think that's a real,
that's a skill.
Not a skill that I have and no one else has. But like, that's all you need from a waiter. I'm always shocked when I go to somewhere and because I've been a waiter for probably 10 years. When they don't just be nice about it and charm, because you can diffuse anything with just a little bit of charm and being nice and honest.
Yeah.
And when you hide it, it fails. But I was a terrible waiter, but I was a nice person.
Press X to Continue is proudly sponsored by you. That is right. If you want more Press X content, then hop over to our socials and see how you can support us and see how you can help us keep the content coming out. You can access live streams, bonus episodes, behind the scenes content, and even, if you're feeling fancy, some Press X to Continue merch.
Let's get to Batman then, and we can talk about the sort of the other roles that you played in order to get to him. But let's go straight for the cake rather than the starters, isn't it?
The cape.
Why didn't I think of, that's my joke? I should have thought of
what
that.
What I'm here for, Dad Joe's what I'm that. Here for.
Come on, I'm disappointed in myself. Clearly, Shai, you were a Batman fan going back a while, right? So when did you have to audition for it, and how does that process go about? Talk us through it.
Yeah, for sure. I obviously had to audition for it. You kind of have to audition for most things nowadays. I actually heard that it was happening, and I knew of a lot of our friends that have gone up for parts in the game, not necessarily for Batman. And I was like, wait, I can be in a Lego game again, because I like to be goofy. I like to do voices and silly things. And it's like, I'm perfect for a Lego game. I'd just done Lego Horizons as well. I was like, I'm perfect for a Lego game. Why can't I be in this? And so I started sort of putting feelers out there and pushing. And while everyone else I knew was sort of auditioning for this game. And then I managed to get an audition for a different part in the game. Recorded it. I think they heard something in that they liked. And then they recalled me for Batman. And that was funny as well, because I got the recall and it was, you know, in the email from my agent, it was like, oh, they'd like to recall you for Batman. And then I said, wait, do you mean the game Batman, not the part Batman? Because I didn't audition for the part of Batman. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. Let's double check. And then they double checked and it was for Batman. And then I was like, this is too much. How did it happen for me not being seen at all, having to sort of chase it, to now me being seen for the lead in this game, my favorite character?
I love it when that happens. And I think you hear it quite often, don't you, in sort of telly or movies, that sometimes people go up for one role and then they end up getting another. So it can happen, and it clearly happened for you.
It did. And it's just the sense that, like, I wasn't even seen for it. And it became a bit of a joke between me and some friends that, like, oh, I guess I'm the only person in town that isn't seen for this game. And then at the end, for me to actually get the title role was just a bit nuts.
Yeah.
So then I went into the audition, and I was obviously like, it's this amazing mix that I'm sure you hear from other actors of, like, I can absolutely do this. If I'm given the chance to really show what I can do in this casting, which is so rare and so hard because auditions are just not a natural process. If I can show what I can do, I can get this part. Like, I'm right for it. I mean, maybe someone else can get it because they're more right for it. Like, you know, it's not always when you don't get a part, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not because you're not right for it. It's because someone else. Yeah, it's almost never is about you, which we can get to. But yeah, I was like, I just need to, for nothing to get in the way so I can show them. But at the same time, you're going, who the F are you kidding? There we go. Who the F are you kidding? Like, why would they cast you as Batman? Like, they can have their pick of anyone. Why would they cast you? Like, you know, you're sort of, it's this complete, and those two thoughts are going completely parallel. Like, I can absolutely do it. I'm totally right for it. And what the hell are you thinking? You're never going to get this. But yeah, it was like a perfect sort of storm. I even said to Mark Healy, the director who's holding the auditions outside, I was like, look, I can totally do this. I just need to know what they want. Not in like, let me do what they want, but like, if we communicate in this, then I can totally do whatever it is, because I know this character inside out and I can just do whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it was just a lovely audition. It was just like, it was very welcoming. It was very friendly. The guys on the line, I think, I can't remember if it was James or Bob from TT. We were sort of just nerding out about Batman. They were very complimentary. And again, you're going, oh, this is great. It's going really well. And at the same time, you're going, oh my God, they're just being nice to me because they can't wait to get rid of me and they feel bad for me trying so hard and it's terrible and it's shit and they're going to just wait for me to
leave. The human mind is so cruel, isn't it? You know, at the same...
And actors, it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, and suppose for people listening to this who want to be actors, how do you overcome that? You know, in the moment, this isn't a role you think you're made for. You've loved the character for years. You're finally in the room. You're getting a chance to sort of chase the dream of your career.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got these dual, sort of these, these competing thoughts going on in your mind.
I think it's it's such a cliche answer, but I think you just have to do what you believe is right. You know, if you try and live up to any expectations or preconceived notions or have that external pressure, you know, you're never going to be happy, which I'm saying as though I don't do it. I do it all the time. But even with this, you know, I can be the biggest Batman fan. And actually, I'm sure you get this a lot. Like, a lot of people that want to get into games are fans of games, right? But just being a fan of something, just loving a franchise or loving a character doesn't mean you're right for it, for whatever the version is that the devs are trying to tell. Yeah. You know, so I can be a huge Batman fan, but my voice doesn't sound like what they had in mind, or my interpretation of it doesn't fit their narrative. So sort of being a fan of it helped me in the sense that I understand the character, but it doesn't guarantee me getting the role. And if I came out of it going and didn't get it and going, how could I not get it? I love Batman more than the guy who got it, then that would be insane.
Yeah.
Because it's got nothing to do with it.
And it's funny because actually sometimes the converse can be true, in the sense sometimes they want someone, like we were saying right at the beginning, with an outsider's perspective on something, or coming at it. In fact, the one of the biggest jobs I got in my career so far was because I wasn't a fan of something. I ended up making a TV show about Doctor Who. And when they phoned me to say, do you want to present this show about Doctor Who? I said, well, I'd love to, but I don't know much about Doctor Who. And they were like, perfect. That's exactly what we want. We don't want someone who's going to ask the in-jokes. We want someone. I guess what you're saying is, Shai, is being yourself and not lying or not trying to live up to somebody else's expectation is what got you over the line.
I think so. And I think it is, at the end of the day, you can only do what you can do. Obviously, you can always try and flex. You know, I try and do a lot of different things. I do, you know, very different styles of games and different styles of voices. And Batman is probably very different, not probably, surely very different to characters I've played before. So you can always expand and you can always sort of, but I mean, do the best that you can do. And if I see a character in a certain way, I'm just going to do it the way. It's like when you lie, you know, if you cheat in an audition or you do something that you don't really believe natively, how can you cheat in an audition? But you know what I mean? Then you're going to have to live with the results of that if you are then picked and need to do this character. If it doesn't come inherently to you, you're not going to do a great job. Or if, and in the same token, like if you just, if, oh, I'm going in tangents now, but like if I was a big, big gamer and I had preconceived notions of how you're supposed to sound in a certain video game or mimicked very famous game characters, and I went into auditions with that in mind, I probably wouldn't get anything because I wouldn't deliver an acting performance. I just be mimicking.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, obviously I'm stealing we all steal all the
of
time.
Course.
Like I steal everything I've heard in The Simpsons in the 90s. And I with this part, I've watched all the movies nonstop again and again and again. So all of that is somewhere in my brain, right? So the residue of that is in whatever I'm performing, but not trying to mimic anyone specifically.
So you go into the audition, it goes well, you feel like you're having a laugh, although are they just being nice to you just to get you out the door? Who knows? And then you just go about your life and then you find out when?
Oh, it must have been like a couple of weeks after, or not even that long. And it's always with these jobs, it's like, are you ready to start next week? And I was in another studio doing another job and I was in the toilet warming up, because as in not sitting on the toilet, but just warming up in a toilet for some peace and quiet. And then I got a text from my agent saying, hey, really busy day. Are you free next week for this and this? Oh, and also Batman, codename, got back to us and they want to offer you the role. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. this can't happen in the toilet. in a text. So I called her. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, sorry, we're so busy. Like, it's amazing sometimes that, like, oh yeah, it is just a job.
Yeah.
My agent doesn't have to know that it means everything in the world to me and my little child in me. Yeah, anyway, so it was kind of surreal like that. But I like that about our industry. I like that it's kind of, essentially, like I said, it is a job. I did the job. Now I go to the gym and I see friends. And like, you know, it's a job.
Yeah.
But it's also incredible.
Well,
and then I started pretty quickly after and didn't have time to do too much research, which I guess in a way is good. And then it just starts and then you roll with it.
And it's a fun version of Batman as well. You have a real, you can hear the tongue-in-cheekness of it all. I mean, all the Lego games are brilliant at that, but that must have been a fun version of Batman to do. You don't have to do the, as brilliant as it is, the serious Christian Bale Batman. You know, you're having real fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. Or the legendary Kevin Conroy. You know, I didn't have to be that dark and that Shakespearean and that sort of bigger than life. I had to be this dude who thinks this voice would be cool and doesn't want anyone to recognize him and wants to be a little bit scary. And this is his version, you know, that's our Batman. And in a way we had to do, so this is going production-y, but we wanted to obviously tell a different story and have all the Batman versions that came before, but not sound like any of them. Because the game does sort of use all the Batman versions and sort of remixes them and rehashes them. So it couldn't sound like any other version of Batman. So in a way I had great freedom, but also a lot of limitations but ironically, obviously my Batman doesn't get to be silly. I mean, no Batman really gets to be silly. Like everyone else around him is very silly and he sort of has to be the straight man. But obviously the straight man in Lego Batman is not the straight man of Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, quite.
Mine does abs and Kevin Conroy didn't do abs.
He did well. Not that we saw. You never know what was going on.
His Batman.
Now look, we've got loads of, some other things I'm going to ask you about before we let you go about the rest of your day. But before we do that, to quote fellow friend of Press X to continue, Elle's the Witch, do the voice.
Elle's? I love Elle's. Do the voice. This voice, Batman.
Do you have a favorite line? Do you have a favorite moment when you do something like that? Or do you do so many hours of it that it actually all sort of blends into one?
Having recorded it or like a specific line?
Well, yeah, when you've sort of thought back of it or played it through and you've heard yourself and think, oh yeah, that was good. I did that good.
Yeah, there's a bunch. And also it changes. That's an interesting thing because it changes now that I've seen and played some of it. It changes what I thought was fun when I did it. You know, so suddenly I'm discovering things like, you know, very stupid things like a duck boat. No. Or the abs line, you know, everyone loves abs. is that line? I think I loved it when we did it, which is like, who are you and how did you get in here? And the answer is, I'm Batman and I'm Batman, which is amazing because it's both the answers. And I remember loving that when we recorded it. Yeah, so it kind of changes all the time. It's a terrible answer to your
question. No, it's great.
It just changes all the time. There's like some moments that I saw that actually were darker and actually more serious that I'm like, huh, that's good. We nailed that sort of serious tone in this sort of sea of comedy and silliness.
Yeah.
Which I think this game really does really well. It sort of manages to marry slightly serious stuff with a lot of the silliness and it all gels and works beautifully.
What is it like being in a booth when you have to do, you know, for this one or for all the other games you've played in? So for people who don't know, you know, Shy's been in Resident Evil Requiem, in the Final Fantasy games, you're in Star Wars Outlaws, you're in Helldivers 2 and a bunch of other games as well. Sometimes like, I remember asking Melisante about this when she was on with us about some of the like, the grunting and the fight noises and all of those stuff. Yeah. Do you enjoy that? Because I find that we had such a laugh listening to, you know, she was giving us some examples of how she'd, some of the silly voices, well, not voices, but like noises you've had to make.
I used to like it more. I hate it now. I think it's just exhausting and also like a voice killer.
Is it? Of course.
I mean, most of what I do in Helldivers is shouting you know, be bro-y and yeah, for the, you know, all of that. Yeah. Oh my God, I forget now what the terminology is there. But it was interesting doing it for Batman as well, because he's on a constant whisper. How do you grunt as Batman? How do you fall? How do you take damage? Like, do you stop whispering to hide your identity and be menacing just because you're in pain, or do you continue with it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, and also that all, I mean, that's not about grunts, but like, if you're talking to Alfred, who knows you're Bruce Wayne, has raised you as a child, do you talk to him in the Batman voice, or do you talk to him as Bruce Wayne? You're in the Batman mask, so cowl. So who are you then? And who is Batman? Whole different conversation.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like, and like, you know, and falling while whispering, which was ridiculous. That was kind of fun to explore, but very hard.
Yeah.
And shouting in that voice is very hard. Projecting in that voice is very hard. So that was like a real challenge in the booth.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's like, I think the booth, as I'm sure a lot of the other actors said, you know, it's very isolated. You're never with anyone else. It's quite a technical exercise of like saying different lines for different strands. There was a joy in this because there's so many references in this that it was like, oh, that's me and the devs. Like, oh, that's from Batman 89 when he says this. So there was an element of that. But what I was going to say is like, we're so grateful and at the mercy and at the behest and at the joy of performance directors, because they really are the ones that bring us to life or help us do this thing. Because you'd never read the whole text. To anyone listening, I'm showing how big the text might be in very large form. You never read all of it before. It doesn't even exist sometimes before you come in. And it's up to the performance director alongside the devs to sort of give you all you need to know to deliver sometimes like a word, sometimes a breath. But they have to fill that world for you so that you know where it comes in. Because, you know, saying, let's get to that window is different from saying, let's get to that window. Because if there's a few windows, you know, I mean, that's the stupid...
No, but I take your point.
Exercise. Yeah. And that's not really about the world, but, you know, that's more functional.
Yeah.
But you really, a good performance director can completely, you know, change your performance, enhance it. You're nothing without them. So I think, in a booth, it is very lonesome. It is all about your imagination. I think I've answered seven different questions.
It's all very interesting. It's just fascinating because like how these all moments that make games pop, all the games we love, many of the games we love will have performances like this that are formed and shaped by those experiences.
And it's about the consistency as well, you know, because I come into the booth, do my version of the story, my version of Batman, how I see the game. The person playing Catwoman, Clara, gorgeous, like, you know, she might have her version of what the story of the scene is, and the director needs to have her performance and the Joker's performance and Talia's performance and everyone's performance and the goons and everyone fit into the same world and sound like they exist in the same universe.
That's amazing. That's such a challenge. It's like a puzzle, isn't it, to put all this together?
Yeah.
How do you reflect on, or how do you think about, or were there moments when you were being very polite to people when you were waiting tables and touching their shoulders and making sure they were happy? And you now, having a conversation on another podcast, you've done loads of interviews about being a character that you've grown up with and you love so much.
Yeah.
Were there times where you thought it wouldn't quite happen for you? Did you ever think about giving up, or how do you reflect upon that journey, that 15-year journey that you've gone on?
I remember this is such a specific anecdote. I'd been filming World War Z with Brad Pitt. I ended up being cut from it, but I'd just come back from filming that in Malta, and I was in a 5-star boutique hotel for a week, 2 doors down from Brad and Angelina at the time. And going, wow, this is insane. Like chatting to him occasionally between shots, very occasionally. He's not very, you know, he goes in and concentrates on running an empire more than chatting to some sort of small actor. It was such an amazing experience. And then the first day back, I had to do a shift on a Saturday morning in Soho. And I was doing the outside sort of tables. And I was just sort of cleaning up and someone walked by and sort of spilled a load of cigarettes. And I had to sort of get on the floor and clean these cigarettes that was sticky. And like, and I was there going like, yesterday I was chatting to Brad Pitt and today I'm literally like scraping cigarettes off the floor in Soho. And this is insane. And what does it mean? And nothing makes sense. I think I was doing, I appeared in, I think it was Coronation Street at the time. It was like a big deal at that time. And when my episode aired, I was covering the person in the cloakroom at the members club that I was working at so that they can go and get dinner and then I could go and get dinner. And it's like, while my episode was being seen by millions of people, it's just, I think those things keep you humble. Anyway, that's not really what you asked, but...
No, but it's
constantly that. It's constantly these ups and downs. You know, the I had like a doctor's appointment on the day the Batman came out. And I told him before because he asked. And so he was like, oh, I saw a bus with Batman on it while I was literally getting dressed from him sort of examining me. And like, life is real, you know, like it's completely... stupid. But yes, there were many times where it didn't really go my way. And I thought, God, when is it going to get better? What is the point of continuing? Like, is it going to be like this forever? And then there's that sort of like blind optimism. And like I said earlier, you sort of roll with it. And I have no other option. This is the only thing I know how to do. And I think I'm good at, and some people have told me I'm good at. So well, I'll lots continue because I might as well.
Yeah, lots of people have said that. Because you are great.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some people don't like me, obviously, like
you
everyone else.
Not everybody's going to like you, all of the things you do all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But you sort of have to keep a balanced view of yourself so that you know what you can and can't do. Anyway, and then this sort of happened. Like the year before... Batman, I'd done so little. Like, I think after Wuthering Waves came out, which was like my biggest character, I guess, till then, and got me into cons and stuff. I think after that, there was like almost a year where barely anything happened. So, you know, you go, God, what is happening? And then I reached out because I was like, everyone's being seen apart from me. And then it started, and then I got my biggest role ever and, you know, such a big opportunity. So, you just never know. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is like, it's exciting and amazing things can still happen if you keep going and you believe. But the bad thing is it is like gambling, right? Like you go, but it happened once. It could happen again. I mean, you know, maybe the next thing will come. So yeah. What was the question?
No, it's actually like you did overcome those doubts. You said it's ups and downs, right? And the peaks and troughs.
The doubts are always there. I still think, you know, now I've done this. It's like, oh my God, how do you live up to playing one of the biggest characters in the history of pop culture? Not my version, but, you know, Batman in general. What's next? Because it better be as good as Batman, but nothing is as good as Batman.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it has its own stresses.
But do you think that, because there's been a bit of a shift in the games industry recently, I think, you know, we've had Alex on, Alex Wilton-Regan's with us, Melisandre's with us. We see you being featured in a lot of places now. We see Ben Starr. We're seeing starting to see a sort of growth of the, I don't know, gaming performer celebrity, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so that it doesn't seem like the industry is just leaning on, when it has big releases, always leaning on Hollywood talent who turn up, do 10 minutes and then leave again. So that does that give you some sort of encouragement that actually if you create something that people that play games enjoy, that actually there might be a good thing that there might be a sort of a new breed of, I hate the term celebrity, but contributor to the games industry that can sort of live off
well-known that actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Celebrity, because celebrity is, I guess, the thing we're trying to get away from, because the connotation, and you're completely right, because that's the right word. But the connotation is like, oh, let's put so-and-so from that reality show in this musical. To, you know, and then you're not doing anyone a good service there. I think obviously we owe a lot to people like Alex Wilton-Regan, to Ben Starr. Obviously, he's completely changed the game. All the Baldur's Gate guys, you know, it's starting to have a big spotlight. I mean, not only on them as performers, but also British performers, you know. people who work in Britain and record here, and the pool of talent that exists here, you know, people like Jane Perry, David Menken, like I hope this is like people that have become known and become celebrities because of how good they are. Mm. And that does shift. And you see, you know, Ben being the face of something gives it sort of the validation, the stamp of approval that it needs. And that's mostly true, I guess, to smaller indie devs or smaller games that sort of need that accreditation in a way. Yeah. I don't think it's gone through to like big AAA games yet. And that's a shame. Again, we don't want a star system. We just want people, you know, a little bit more of meritocracy, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can trust someone with a role because you know what they've done before. Yeah, I think, I hope it is. I mean, look, Troy Baker has existed for a long, long time. He's a megastar, and he is not only probably the most famous voice actor in the world, but one of the most talented ones, right? So, like, it's not a new thing, but I think it's definitely new that it's coming to the UK, and it's definitely new that now it's being talked about in as much as a dev has talked about, or a Miyazaki has talked about, or a Hideo Kojima has talked about. Yeah, and I think it's good. I mean, listen, it's great. And obviously we get a lot of A-list Hollywood actors trying to do games now or wanting to do games now. And it's great, but it should be a circle where we just cast whoever's right for the part.
Yeah.
Wow, that wasn't an answer.
No, that was absolutely an answer. And it's interesting. And I think it's a conversation that's going to keep happening. And I do wonder whether actually with this new, it's not new anymore, but the newer generation of game performers, I think, have really used...
I also, just to not to take too much time, but like, I think it is good for devs to sort of realize that, because I think, listen, I came into this game, right? For example, I was the last like icing on a cake that's already been baked and prepared for years and years by very talented devs and artists. So the voice actor is not always the most important thing, if ever. But it is the thing that players and gamers connect to. And it is their link to the game or the world of gaming or whatever, the publicity, the marketing. So to sort of turn a blind eye to that is it's a shame because... That's the way that you can get through to players, even though, you know, it's not the actors that always deserve all the praise, but it is your way to get through to players, you know, because when you play as a character, you don't remember that someone did the lighting and someone did the thing and they deserve all the praise. But realistically, it's the voice and the performance that sometimes the players connect to on a superficial level. And we should all just work together collaboratively.
Well, Shai, it has been a delight to have you in the Continue Club. So thanks for being
with us.
Thanks,
delight was all mine.
What's next for you? You're having a well-earned break, no doubt, after all that hard work.
I mean, listen, we're all self-employed. Whoever has a break? There's a few things that I'm doing, obviously, that I can't talk about that are in the background. Just had a lovely animated show released yesterday called Dragon Striker, which is so much fun. It's on Disney Plus. Just did a little episode on a BBC TV show. Hoping to do just a lot more exciting games and roles.
Well, that is all very exciting. We're very excited to see more of you. And so thanks for being with us. And
thanks for having me.
Stay tuned by the sounds of it for more Shai Matheson, which is great for everybody.
Thank you.
Right, that is it. Thank you very much for sticking with us to the bitter end. We are going to be back next week with more Press X goodness. And remember the Patreon. If you want more of this stuff, then go and check it out. There's some really cool stuff over there for you to enjoy. And we will see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.